people's lives. And so pray for that. And I know we're going to send out papers in the schools, start inviting some of the football players. Continue to remember Brother Dustin in your prayers. I know he's praying about some big decisions in his life. Then me and Martha met today, talked about the trip to Belize in January 2nd through the 11th. Looks like projectedly we could take them cost about $1,700 a person. It may be less than that. Hopefully it'll be less. She's looking at me. I don't know if she knows something different now. But if it does come in less than that, we'll give you your money back. Or you can just give it to me and her as a tip for being good stewards. But oh well, whatever y'all decide to do on that. But now if it's a shortfall, we'll have to dig in everybody's pocket while we're there to make sure that we get it covered as well. As long as it don't all fall on us, we're all good. But be praying about that. I've had a lot of people mention they want to go on that trip, the 2nd through the 11th. It looks like we'll be going to Sartanash, Anoush, Tea Kettle Village, maybe St. Matthew's, and then West San Ignacio Town. So several villages and one town there. It'd be a good trip. Be a busy trip. A lot of work, but I believe you'll enjoy it and get a blessing from it. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to ask that you turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, I've been speaking on the subject of faith often, and I've kind of took a little break. But Hebrews 11 is the chapter we often call the Hall of Faith. We have a Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio that you can go to, and you can see the greatest that ever played the game of professional football. I'd like to go there myself and to see that. The memorabilia, I'd like to take a look at it. I'd like to look at the statues and read all the little neat little articles that tells about all the successes, the triumphs, the difficulties and the adversity they faced and how they overcome. It's inspiring, is it not, to read of these people. And it's always neat to watch the biographies of some of these athletes in the past, whether it's baseball, basketball, maybe even soccer. I didn't know that there's really, is there a Hall of Fame for soccer? There should be. Well, if it's left up to me, there probably never will be one. But I understand soccer is well beloved in other parts of the world. Well, tonight we're going to start, as we look into this Hall of Faith, we see some individuals that made it in there. Now, you say, well, what's significant about that? The world doesn't know any of these people. I mean, most people, if you were to walk up on the street and ask them, can you tell me about the life of Abel? Can you tell me about the life of Isaac? Can you tell me about the life of David? Can you tell me about the life of some of the judges that we'll find in here? Most people look at you kind of silly. They'd have no idea. They wouldn't know who Barack was. They wouldn't have a clue. But you know, they're found in God's Hall of Fame for those that had tremendous faith. And I believe if you look at their lives, just as we look at sports today and athletes and icons of that nature, it inspires us. So tonight we're going to look at one who landed in God's Hall of Faith. And the title of this message will be A Speaking Faith. A Speaking Faith. Look in Hebrews 11, verse number 4. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Notice that. Speaks of his faith, but yet he's dead, but yet somehow his faith speaks to us today. Father, we thank you for a faith that is real, and God help us to be a people whose faith is genuine. Help it not to be something that we display just to show off. God, we need a true, genuine, believing faith that will land us on heaven's shore. There's so many people that possess or profess many things in this world, but they don't possess a true faith. God, help us as your people to have our faith settled up in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. The very nature of man, I want to say to you tonight, is religious. Some people think that atheists, if everybody was left to themselves, they'd be atheists. I want to say to you, an atheist become an atheist because someone convinced him that there was no God. There's no children that's born atheist. Every little child I've ever met believed in a God. I mean, you ask any baby that begins to speak, they believe that there's a God. You don't have no problem convincing them. You'd have a problem convincing them that there wasn't a God. We build monuments. We memorialize certain incidents. We memorialize certain people. We create systems and methods of worship all around the world. Man is inherently and very flawfully religious. I want to say the only religion that God accepts is faith-based religion. God doesn't accept works-based religion. And what we see, when we look in Hebrews 11:4, there's a statement made of Abel. But Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, who's Cain and Abel? Well, Cain being the third person that ever lived, and Abel being the fourth person that ever lived on planet Earth. You know, the other day we went to play ball at the Galilean Children's Home. We walked in there and there was a bunch of jerseys hung up from the Galilean Eagles that they had. And I looked up there and I looked back and I remember those kids and they were going to school. I remember when I went there and did Bible memory with them, and if they didn't pass the Bible memory, they wouldn't be able to play ball. And trust me, they worked hard every week. Galilean Home, we won not just the state championship, but I think 5 years in a row we won international championship in Bible memory. I mean, we worked them hard. That was important. And so, what those kids, I remember how hard they worked and they dedicated their life. But what impressed me at the Galilean Home, the reason most of those jerseys they have hanging up, they retire numbers there of the kids that play basketball, is not necessarily because they had great skill. But the names and the jerseys that are hanging up on that wall are because they were children and teenagers of exceptional character. And they left an indelible mark upon everybody that ever went to school with them or followed behind. They set an example. Now, we was there, and Shane will tell you that we had nubs out there. Abdul, Brother Herbert knows nubs. We call him nubs, he has no hands. I said, he can shoot. First game we watched him, he hit 2 threes. He had no hands. Then he went driving down the lane. He ain't this tall. He's from Afghanistan. Turn around the guy's face with no hands and hit a fadeaway jumper. I mean, man, we don't have any reason to complain. Guess what? Samad is up there. Abdul Samad, his jersey's up there too. I want to tell you, he just didn't make excuses. And so we look back, and everybody go back, and they can remember these people, the impact that they made. You know what God's doing here in Hebrews chapter 11? He is challenging us that those who died in the past by their faith, they set an example. They blazed a trail. They left a story behind that ought to inspire us not to settle for mediocrity, but to settle for greatness that we can achieve and do things that most people say that we can't do if we'll just trust and follow by faith. That's why you come to chapter 12. It says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I want to tell you, friend, when he said that, he's talking about those who had died in faith. They're in the grandstands of heaven, cheering God's people on because they know for a fact that you can achieve and you can have victory in this life if you'll just follow God by faith. So he makes a statement about this individual. Here he is that is in the Hall of Faith. Now, I'm a sports fan, but I want to tell you I'm a bigger fan of those of great faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, if you want to get the story, Cain and Abel, you've got to go all the way to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter 4, and I'm not going to go there necessarily right now, but we will here in a moment. But why was Abel, if you want to understand why the faith of Abel, you've got to understand why Cain wasn't someone of great faith. You see, it starts all the way back to the dawn of history. Adam and Eve had sinned. And you remember that? They were hiding in the garden. And God come through the garden cool of the day walking, said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, we was ashamed because we was naked and we went and hid ourselves. You know the story. They sinned against God. The Bible says, wherefore by one man's sin, sin entered into the world, did it not? In Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And therefore, we're all guilty of sin. We've inherited a sin nature. And so, I want you to understand that when they had children, their children inherited a sinful nature. Now, God promised Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15 that through the descendants of Eve, that they would be one that would come that would crush the head of the serpent or the devil. You remember that? And so, when Eve had her first child, she brought forth a child, and his name, she named him what? She named him Cain. You know what it meant? It meant the anointed one. She thought for sure that Cain would be the one that would destroy Satan and bring back a complete relationship between God and man. But just as the Bible is, God rejects the first birth and accepts the second birth. Amen? That's just the way God is. And so, you'll find that it wasn't Cain to be the one, but God had in plan a mind for someone else. Now, I want to say to you, I believe that these boys grew up just like any other family. I believe they had arguments along the way. I believe there were times that they didn't get along too well. There were times maybe they were just jealous of one another. You say, how can you believe that, Brother Grant? Well, they had a sinful nature. You ever get jealous of someone? You ever get mad at someone? Well, I believe they did too. They had the best environment. But even that, even they were brought up in the dawn of history, but yet these boys, no doubt, there was good times. No doubt there were some times they enjoyed some things. But I want you to understand, they were different. Now, you can have, it amazes me, you can have children with the same mom and dad, be raised in the same environment, and turn out completely different, can they not? Just the way they are. So, you'll find that one turned out to be a farmer, the other one turned out to be a shepherd. May I say to you, both of them had a knowledge of God, their dad and mom told them, they also had a knowledge of sin. Because I believe that Adam explained to his boys why that they had to go and offer sacrifice to God. I believe he explained all that to them. I want to say to you, I believe, according to Genesis 3:21, when God took an animal and slayed that animal, they all had a first-hand account on how that they were to approach God. Now, I want you to say to you that Cain and Abel, they're a contrast in the two ways man throughout the centuries had tried to approach God. One tries to do it by a true and living faith. The other tries to do it by his works. I don't care what category, you're either trusting in the Lord Jesus to get you to heaven by faith, trusting what His Word says, or you're trying to earn your way into heaven. There's two extreme contrasts in this world. In Cain, there's Cain's way, there's Abel's way. I want to say to you, you're going to approach God one way or the other. But I want to say to you, there's only one way that's acceptable unto God. There's only one way God is pleased in. I will say to you, number one, Abel had a word-centered faith. You look here. What is faith? We spend a lot of time about this. Faith is simply taking God at His Word. Faith is simply believing what God has said and obeying it. Amen? If God said do this, you've done that. That's faith. That's believing God enough to obey God. And so, that's what faith is. Now, notice what the Bible says. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Wait a minute. By faith, somehow Abel understood how to worship God. He understood how to go about that. He understood what needs to be done. Thank you, Brother Jared. I'll take a sip of that. I don't know if it'll help, but by faith, I'll trust that it will, all right? What we find is that he, when here it says, by faith, Abel. So if faith is taking God at His Word and acting upon it, that's what faith is. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. You know what that tells me? It tells me somewhere along the way that this young man, Abel, had been instructed in the way to offer a sacrifice up to God that would settle the sin account. Amen? That's what it was. So what did he do? By faith. He did what God said to do. That's what he did. And what did Cain do? Cain didn't do it that way. Cain did it his own way. Huh? Talk about that more here just in a minute. But you see, faith came to Abel. He heard the Word of God either firsthand by God Himself or he heard it from his mom and dad and believed it. I got news for you. You know, that's how God works yet today. Sometimes someone witnesses somebody and they hear the Word of God. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He comes along and tells it to them firsthand that that's right and that's so. And so you either got, you come to a point of decision, are you going to obey and or are you going to reject? And so God gave instructions and enabled, determined to obey the Word of God. I want you to think about this. Why? Why did God receive Abel's and reject Cain's? You really think about it. You go into Genesis chapter 4, and some of you, I'm trusting you know the story, but if not, I want you to go read it tonight. Genesis, in fact, I'll just go over there. How about that? Let's go there. All we got's time, amen? Genesis chapter number 4. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. I'll tell you, Grant Hardwick, theology, she conceived once, bore twice. I believe they were twins. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, and the fat thereof. Now, we'll come back into verse 4 in a second. But notice it said, in the process of time, it came. You say, why do you believe they're twins? Because they come to the age of accountability at the same time. There come a point in time that Adam could no longer offer up sacrifice for his boys. I don't know how old he was. I believe they were probably getting to be young men. And so you know what happened was, they had to do it for themselves. And so here goes Cain. He brings of his very best vegetables and tomatoes and cabbage and cucumbers and lettuce. And I mean, he brings the best that he has and presents it there. Then Abel brings of the first of his flock and the fat thereof. But the Bible says the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Now one was a bloody offering. One was an animal that was slain. The other was vegetables. The other one was more respectable, we might say. But why did God receive the disgusting offering? Why did God receive the bloody offering? I want to tell you why. Because it represents what sin is. Sin in its nature is horrible. Sin in its nature is disgusting and revolting with God. That's what it is. So it represents that one dying that. So you see, God established this pattern. Genesis 3:21. If you go over there and you read in Genesis 3:21, when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves, and that would not do. So what did God do? He went and took an animal and slayed that animal and provided them with a garment that would cover their nakedness. I got news for you. We'll never be able to stand before God unless we have a divinely provided garment just as Adam and Eve did. And so we must be covered by the righteousness. We must be covered by something that gave its life in our place. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. God established a pattern early on in Genesis 3:21, and they were to follow that pattern. But you know what Cain did? He approached God in a different way than the pattern that God had established. Now you look in 1 John, it says something to Cain. 1 John chapter number 3, I want you to turn there this evening. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Verse 11, it says, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now what happened? You go back to Genesis 4, when the offerings was given, the Bible said the Lord had respect unto Abel's, but not unto Cain's. But Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they had filled that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Did that murder make Cain someone that the Bible makes it very clear that he was a wicked and evil individual? Was it that murder? No, I want to tell you what. The downward spiral started with Cain when he started doing things his own way and not God's way. When he wanted to go against the principles and the precepts of the Word of God, it set him in a path. It set him into a course that led him there. I want you to understand, according to a divine perspective, Abel came by faith. To a divine perspective, Cain come by works. You see, everything that Cain presented to God, he created by the works of his own hands. And so God looked at it and said, I'll not accept that. You take something dying in your place. Something dying, something becoming your substitute. And may I say to you, I want you to understand that not only did we find here that Abel, he had a very unique faith, and that it was a word-centered faith. By faith, the Bible says. But I want you to see this, that Abel, as you read the Word of God, he had also a worshiping faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:4, turn there again, Hebrews 11:4, that by faith Abel offered unto God what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, was it better because he spent more time on it? I don't necessarily think that. Was it better because he had a prettier altar than Cain? I don't think that was it. But let me tell you what I believe it was. Abel brought his very best to God. When he brought something to God, he didn't bring an animal that was defective. He didn't bring an animal that was sick. He didn't bring an animal that was weak. He didn't bring an animal that wasn't healthy. He brought the very best animal that he had, and he sacrificed it unto God. You know what worship deserves? If we have true, genuine worship, it ought to bring out the best in us, amen? And it ought to cost us our best. We ought to have the best of ourselves and give it to worship, but we also ought to give our best to worship. Man, people that want to go to church, they think you can serve God with spare time and pocket change, they're wrong. And that type of religion isn't a religion that's going to worship the God of heaven. I got news for you. If you have true, genuine faith, it costs you something. And so what you'll find, he brought a more excellent, he brought his very best, nothing decrepit. I want you to understand that our worship ought to require the best of what we are and what we have to God. We love Him because we know Him, and we worship Him because we love Him. Hebrews 13:15 tells us we ought to bring the sacrifice of praise to God. I'll tell you that the third thing about Abel was, not only had a word-centered faith, he not only had a worshiping faith, but he had a witnessing faith. The Bible says, as you look there in that text, and this has always just kind of just intrigued me. Because the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God accepted. He did. He told Cain, man, I accept that. But God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, I'm saying he had a witnessing faith. I want you to think about this. He was one of the first four human beings to walk on planet Earth. He's been dead a long time. I mean, you think about it. A long time. He ain't been on this earth for a long, long time. But yet, somehow, his faith still yet speaks to us. How is that? How is it that his faith is still yet speaking from the grave, speaking to us and giving us a lesson? He's found here in Hebrews 11 and verse 4. I'm going to say to you, number one, it was because of his actions. They are a timeless witness to every one of us here tonight. You can only come to God His way. I've had people say to me, well, why doesn't God accept this religion? Why doesn't God accept that way? Why does that have to be salvation by grace through faith, period? What if this guy goes to church and they preach from a Bible, even use a King James Bible, and they even baptize people, and they do all these things, but they teach that you got to be baptized in order to be saved? What's wrong with that? Why won't they get to heaven? Well, I got news for you. It's not what your opinion says. You see, Cain had his opinion. Cain thought, I could do it however I want to do it. It's not based on doing something however you want to do it. It's based on doing it how God said to do it. Huh? I mean, there's Hindus that I've read about who put their finger here and they'll hold it there until the fingernail grows through their hand on the other side. Can you believe that? I mean, that's crazy to me. And then there's ladies who'll take their babies down to the river and throw them into the alligators to please their God.
Now that's big faith right there, and that's a true someone that really believes in something right there. But because you really believe in something, don't make it right, huh? And you see, God said this is the way you've got to do it. And so what He knew, I got news for you. What's important is not how much you believe in something. It's not the I got news for you. It's not the amount of your faith. It's the object of your faith. I got news for you, according to Romans chapter number 5. Our faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying tonight that His faith witnesses to everybody here tonight. You can't come to God your own way. You can't come to God a different way than there was found in the instructions of the Word of God. And I'll tell you another thing. You can only come to God by faith. And then it also speaks by His actions that it takes a substitution. You see, it wasn't not His words that He spoke that's been recorded that still yet speaks to us. I like listening to some old preachers that are dead and gone. Well, I listen to their sermons. I like to listen to Oliver B. Green. Don't agree with some of his views on the church, but I just like to listen to him preach, man. I just like Lester Olof. I mean, man, he was mad. He preached against deodorant. Okay? I mean, you're clogging up your skin pores. You're not pleasing God. Your body's a temple. Shame on you. He said, if you ate right, you wouldn't stink. That's Lester Olof, okay? I mean, man, and I didn't agree with him, but I like listening to him. I'll amen him, too. I say, amen, brother. Just have at it. Because it just tickles me plumb to death. I like listening to some of them old fellas that died in the faith, and I may not agree with them, but man, on everything, but I believe they've saved. I like listening, but you know what? There's no recorded sermon of Abel. There's no words that's been recorded in ink of Abel. So what was it? I got news, there's no record. But his life speaks volumes to us. You only come to God by faith. And that's believing His Word. Cain's example has been matched by man's religious efforts throughout history and the world. You see, I want you to understand that faith of Abel says you do it God's way. Nothing else will do. It takes faith to believe God's Word and act upon it. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ, because all from Genesis 3:21 to Revelation 1:5, it says, tells us that he washed us in His own blood. I got news for you. What you're going to find from Genesis to Revelation, this crimson cord, it points to the person of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. I want you to see this on that. Tonight I'll come to a conclusion with this. But Cain had a religious faith. Now, I've said this many times. I'll say it again tonight. That religion is an enemy of the cross. There's people dying and going to hell in churches all across America. Huh? Some of them trust in their baptism. Some church in church membership. Some of them trusting because they confessed something to some priest somewhere in a little closet. And he told them, go out and say a few Hail Marys. Pray with their little rosaries. Some of them said, well, you need to do this in order to go to heaven. Some has come along and they said, well, you know what? You got to maintain good works. And so in essence, if you got to maintain good works, you're trusting in your works to get to heaven. Salvation is not 99% grace and 1% works. What are you trusting? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Or are you trusting in yourself? And so there's religious people all across the world that's wanting to do it their way. I news for you. God help us as Baptists to ever get to the place where we don't adhere to and proclaim loudly that the Bible is our final authority for faith and practice. And so you'll find that there's people all abroad that's on their way to hell. And I want to say to you, Cain was very religious. He's the founder of human religion. I'm talking about just within Christianity. I'm not talking about within Islam. We're talking about what's in Buddhism or any of the other world's religions out there. There's a lot of different ideas. But I want you to understand that Cain's religion was one, its tenets were based upon logic and reasoning. His religion was based upon works. Religion is man's efforts to reach up to God. But let me tell you what grace does. Is grace is when God reaches down to men. Our religion will never reach up to heaven. It'll never do it. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. They stink to God. God will never be satisfied in religion. Grace when God reaches down to men. Man, I'm thankful for the day He reached down for me. like the song, he had to reach way down for me. And friend, he did, and I'm thankful for that. That's what teen's religion is about. It was based on reasoning. He thought it had to be earned. He thought, well, you know what? It really don't matter the way you do it, as long as you do it and you're sincere about it. Don't you think maybe Cain, he reasoned his mind, and I believe Cain was sincere, don't you? I got news for you. His faith wasn't something going to get him there. I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to get this, and maybe you ought to write it down. Human reasoning cannot reverse divine revelation. Human reasoning cannot reverse divine revelation. And I see some people think somehow they've got the sole authority of the universe, and because they said it that way, it's going to be that way. If you can think that you're going to stand in front of God and tell Him how things are going to be, you're gravely mistaken. Huh? It's His way or the highway. I want you to understand His religion was based upon works. If our works gets to heaven, how much we got to do? How many times do we got to go to church? How much money do we have to give? How much of our clothes do we have to give away? How many buildings do we got to go build? I mean, think about it. How many people do we have to pick up on the side of the road if that's going to get us to heaven? How many people is it that we're going to have to find and feed if that's going to get us to heaven? I mean, when do we stop? God knows, for it's not based upon our works. Now, I want to tell you what Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Huh? Not of your works, lest any man should boast, but the Bible tells us that we're saved unto good works. I do good works because I am saved, not to get saved. And you see, we're living in a culture that's got the devil. It's so close. Some people are trying to work their way in. You'll never work your way into heaven. I mean, I got news for you. We'll get to heaven because heaven came down for us. And I'm thankful that He did on an old rugged cross. And the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God. And him yet being dead, somehow it speaketh. You want me to tell you why it speaketh? Because he set the precedent. That salvation is not based on D-O-N-E. It's based on, not based on D-O, do, but it's based on D-O-N-E, done. See, Jesus Christ done everything necessary for us to make it to heaven. And tonight, if you're trusting in your religion, trusting in your good works, they'll never suffice. My challenge is you to have a faith like Abel, that's based upon what God has said. Now, what's God said? Let me tell you what God said. God says everybody's a sinner. That everybody deserves to go to hell. And the Bible says if we die in our sin, we shall perish. We'll perish. We'll burn in the lake of fire throughout all eternity. That's what the Bible says. Why is that? Because we've sinned. We broke God's law. That's what the Bible says. You better agree with God with that. You better believe that in us. Say, God, you're right. I'm a sinner. Tell you what else you better believe. You better believe when the Bible says that God loved you so much He sent Jesus Christ to an old rugged cross, that He bore your sin as your substitute, and He took your place there and died and was buried and rose again. You better believe that too. You say, God, I believe that. And let me tell you what else you got to believe. When God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you better believe it enough to actually call upon the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, a dirty, rotten sinner, and save me. Because I can't save myself. Brother, I promise you, if you do that with a sincere heart tonight, you say, when will my heart be sincere? When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and says, come. It'll get sincere then. You do that. You do what God has said. You call upon Him. You see, that's believing His Word enough to actually do what He said. He said, whosoever calleth the name of the Lord might be saved, hope to be saved, think they'd be saved. If they're lucky, they'll be saved. He said, whosoever calleth the name of the Lord shall be saved, or they will be saved. Problem is, a lot of times people come up and pray, but they didn't call on God. A lot of times people come shake the preacher's hand. They're all emotional. They forget. They'll listen to the preacher pray. They didn't pray themselves. Man, I want to tell you, you got to call upon God in order to be saved. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for this time to be here. If someone needs to be saved, I pray God tonight will be the night. They'd have a true living faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.